Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Isn't it interesting? The summer is gone already. It's hard to believe as we've passed Labor Day now and heading into the fall. Baseball is coming along, getting ready for the playoffs, getting ready for the World Series, and we're into football. Football season has started, and it's always good when we can talk to an NFL player. These guys seem like they are... You know, it's hard to know them sometimes when you look at them because they're behind all those pads and the helmet. But one of the guys that we got to know a couple of years ago is Andy Studebaker. And Andy has been around. There's no doubt about that. Andy Studebaker played for the Indianapolis Colts for the last couple of years. And Andy Studebaker this year went to camp with the Tennessee Titans. He did not make the Titans. In fact, just a few days ago, Andy Studebaker was cut by the Titans. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily out of football or even off the Titans team. The way that pro football works is if you get cut, you can come back and be a member of the practice squad. And now that doesn't seem like much. That doesn't seem like anything that you'd want to do, just getting a chance to practice, being on a scout team for these big guys that can bang you around. But the truth is, if you're on the practice squad and somebody gets hurt, they can bring you right up. So at the moment, Andy Studebaker's kind of in limbo. He was with the Tennessee Titans during the preseason, and the Titans have cut him. But when we talked to him, he was with the Indianapolis Colts. He was on special teams, and as the Colts went along, he had a chance to play linebacker, and he got a chance to make some tackles and got a chance to get in there and play over the last couple of years. The interesting thing about Andy Studebaker is the fact that he does not come from a big school. He comes from Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois. That's on the west side of Chicago. And that's a Christian school that's probably more famous for the fact that the Billy Graham Library is there. But they have put out some athletes, and Andy Studebaker is one of those guys. We thought you might enjoy hearing the interview with a guy who came out of Wheaton College and had a chance to play in the pros. And he actually had some pretty good years. From 2009 to 2012, he played for the Kansas City Chiefs and was a regular on that. He got a chance to play in all the regular season games for the Kansas City Chiefs during that time, and he got a chance to play in most of the Indianapolis Colts games. But like anyone in football, your career does not last very long. Studebaker is only 29 years old, but we'll see if he catches on with somebody else. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we had in the locker room of the Indianapolis Colts a few years ago with Wheaton College grad Andy Studebaker. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. We're here with Andy Studebaker, our guest today with Face to Face. Andy playing for the Indianapolis Colts, linebacker, and comes out of Wheaton College. Andy, is there any other players that you know of that come out of Wheaton College?
There's a few guys that have had some shots. A guy that played a year after me got a shot and played with the Titans for a few weeks and spent a couple years in the league. So not a ton, but a few of us.
I know that you are not the first player to come out of Eureka, Illinois. In fact, you're not the first player on Face to Face to be on from Eureka, Illinois. Ben Zobrist has been on. Are you and Ben friends?
He was a little bit ahead of me. He was pretty good friends with a couple with my brother and sister, but he was out of high school by the time I got there, so I haven't connected with him a ton, but really happy for him, obviously, and he's doing some awesome stuff, and it's neat to have a guy like him come from our community.
Give us a feel of what it's like to be in the Colts locker room before a game. Particularly, I'm thinking about a big game like maybe a Monday night game or a game. Tell us what the feeling is like.
Yeah, you know, you spend so much time preparing, months and months and months, eight months a year, 7 months a year, preparing for moments like that. And none of them are guaranteed to you. So as a player, you lift the weights, you run the sprints, you go through training camp, and then you sit in that locker room 15 minutes before a kickoff. stuff, and it's a great feeling. Anticipation is high. You're really close with the guys on the team. You're counting on them, and it's a great atmosphere. There's a lot of intensity. It's usually pretty quiet, and guys are pretty intense, I would say. So to come out of that tunnel and know that the world is watching, and that you get to play a game for a living and be part of a great organization and be on national TV and that kind of stuff is really unbelievable.
How do you prepare personally when you get ready for a game and it's a few minutes before the game?
Yeah, I don't have like a crazy routine or anything. I don't have, you know, something weird that I do or any weird rituals or something like that. I'm not real superstitious. Each week's a little different. You know, you're in different stadiums, you're in different, you know, different settings each week. Some, you know, half of them are at home, half of them are in other cities. So for me, I just kind of, it's a process of the day. You wake up, I try not to do anything differently than I would or try to be bigger than the moment or anything like that. And I really just count on the preparation that went into that moment and count on that coming through when things matter the most. So I wouldn't say I do anything unique enough to put on the radio.
You know, they say that it can be tough playing on the road, but as a professional, are there stadiums or are there times when you've played years for the Kansas City Chiefs and you've been around now a while, are there places to play? I've heard a lot about Seattle, but are there places to play where you go in and you know you are really in enemy territory?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's a bunch of stadiums like that, and that's because fans are passionate. There's a few unique ones that are out there. Some of my favorites are Oakland. I played a lot there, and it's not the nicest stadium in the world. That kind of has that reputation, and the fans there are, you know, they're dressed up and they're painted up and they're threatening you in the crowd. And it's just I think it's fun to play in atmospheres like that. I think it's fun to play in hostile territory because at the end of the day, it is a game, and you can have some fun with things like that. And there's a few other ones like that, some loud places. Kansas City's loud. Like you said, Seattle's really loud. So some unique settings that it's fun to be able to play in places like that.
Playing at Wheaton, did you ever believe that you would be drafted by the Eagles in 2008 and that you would be in the NFL?
Absolutely not. No, I didn't go to Wheaton thinking I was going to ever get a shot at the NFL. I was unrecruited, and so I just asked questions like, what kind of man do I want to be when I grow up? You know, when I actually grow up, when I'm out of college, what kind of business do I want to run? What kind of husband do I want to be? And then I was going to go surround myself with people like that. And Wheaton College was a great atmosphere for me at 18 years old. The coaches there are unbelievable. They poured into us spiritually, physically. They challenged us, and they really cared about our whole being. And that's the place I wanted to be. And eventually, the doors kept opening up. The Lord opened up a bunch of doors for me, and that is pretty unbelievable to come this far and look backwards and think, man, that's really unique.
You get an idea this is really a business. You were drafted by the Eagles, you're on their practice squad, and then Kansas City picked you up. You had a nice career at Kansas City, nice number of years there. Is there a difference? You've been with Philadelphia, with Kansas City. You had some really brief time, I think 2 weeks with Jacksonville, and then you came over here.
I don't even count it, so just forget about that. Forget that ever happened.
Now, let's talk about your time at Kansas City. You come over and you had some good years over there. What do you remember about your time with Kansas City?
It's about the people. I mean, that's anything. It's about the friendships you make in the locker room. I tell guys all the time, the scoreboard gets shut off when you leave. I don't remember the scores of any of the biggest games we played in. Playoff games, Monday night games, Sunday night games. You don't remember the scoreboard, and the lights shut off and the people go home. And next week comes, and what you did last week is forgotten. And so really what I think is unique is the friendships that you build inside that locker room. And I had a lot of good friends, some guys that we got really close with their families, and we have that here too, which is really neat. Guys going through the same stage of life, having kids, playing football, you know, moving across the country to come play in Indianapolis and do something great here. So it's that stuff that you remember. But yeah, we have some really neat friendships and memories there.
Your first start with Kansas City, I'm sure you remember. You picked off Ben Roethlisberger twice. Tell me about that.
Sort of remember it. Yeah, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. So yeah, it was neat, man. I got thrust into that starting role. I don't think anybody expected me to have to even have that opportunity. That wasn't supposed to happen. And when you're in the moment like that, I was trying to keep my head above water and prove that the moment wasn't too big for me. And so some balls bounced my way, and I was able to do some pretty neat things, and it was a really neat opportunity to get to share my story and get to show people how God's worked in my life. And just, I think God uses moments like that for people to share their stories and to show them who He is. And so it wasn't about, you know, it was a great memory, obviously great memories, but it opened up a lot of doors for me and gave me a lot of opportunity that I was, you know, it was pretty fun.
You're 6'3", 248. You're coming into this league, you're going up against guys that have played at Ohio State, Alabama, Southern Cal, you name the team, any league around there, and you're coming out of Wheaton. Was there a learning curve?
Yeah, there was. You know, the big learning curve as far as schemes and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, that football field at Wheaton was still 53 yards wide and 100 yards long. You know, it really, there are some basics in football that it doesn't matter where you played. It matters who you are and what you're willing to sacrifice. And I think that's what the NFL teams are always looking for, is they're looking around everywhere. Look at this locker room's full of guys that probably shouldn't, you know, quote, shouldn't be here. They weren't supposed to make it. And we have a ton of guys on this team that did. And so it's really about sacrificing and being able to have this delayed gratification, you know, to pour in now and receive later, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, there's a huge learning curve. I spent plenty of time on the ground my rookie year, I'll say that.
Andy Studebaker is our guest. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk more about Andy and about his Christian faith. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. We're privileged to be in the Colts locker room today with Andy Studebaker, the linebacker of the Indianapolis Colts. And Andy, coming out of Eureka, Illinois, ended up at Wheaton College. I understand you thought you might not play football. You thought basketball was going to be your sport.
Yeah, I still think that there's a chance for me to make the NBA after this whole thing's over. That was my love, man. That's what the town I grew up in, Eureka, was. I always felt like, you know, that was a kid's dream, was to play basketball there and get the chance to be part of that, you know, and I just love the game, and then I sort of developed a passion for football as the years went on and realized that this is a great game. I only get a very small window of time to play it. I can play basketball when I'm 50, but I can't play football past 40 probably. So I developed that passion as the years went on.
Well, Wheaton College is a unique Christian college. I think Billy Graham went there, as a matter of fact. There's the Billy Graham Center is there. Tell us about your Christian faith and what it means to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the essence of my faith is the fact that, you know, I'm not focused on working harder for Christ. I can't earn anything from Him. I, you know, we have a God that's worthy to be worshipped, and I fail miserably most of the time. And I'm not counting on my work or anything that I can do to make it right with Him. I'm solely resting on the fact that Christ died for me, and that's going to be what justifies me in front of a holy God someday. And so, with that, I have a ton of freedom. I'm able to pursue each day passionately, knowing that when I eventually blow it, which I probably will almost always, I'm able to just come to Him and ask for forgiveness, and it's provided for me. So, you know, that's the essence of it. I try not to make it super complicated, and I think that creates a lot of freedom in Christ.
It would seem to be there'd be a time when maybe in your career, after you've gotten past some immediate hurdles with the Eagles and getting a chance with Kansas City and starting, you could look around and say, you know what, God's got me on a mission. Do you feel that way right now? Do you feel like you're here because God wants you here and that you've got something to accomplish in his role?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's everybody, you know, and that's you, that's me, that's my brother who's a financial advisor, that's my dad at work, that's my mom as a nurse, you know, the people that we're around. It doesn't matter if you have a microphone and you're on public TV, or you're on Monday Night Football, or you're in the confines of an office or a cubicle. It's, you know, we're here because because we're here to glorify God, and no matter what opportunities we have, whatever opportunities He gives us through work, through our family life, through just mentoring a younger person or someone to Christ. I mean, I see each day as an opportunity to do something like that, and look for opportunities to do that.
Tell me when you first became a Christian.
That's a great question for me. I don't know that there was like this epiphany moment. I don't remember the moment that the lights turned on. I can't point back to one specific day where I was saved. I always felt like I was a Christian, and I grew up in the church. I always felt like I was a Christian, and I don't think that I was. You know, growing up, I was trying to work for Christ. I was trying to be good, to be moral, to do the right things, and earn grace and all of that. And I don't know when the moment was where I just realized I can't do that. It's exhausting, and it doesn't work. You know, And I don't remember the moment that I just solely rested on grace alone and Jesus and Him justifying me only and not counting on anything I could do. So I'm not sure about that question, but I guess I don't need it either. I hope there's other people out there that aren't looking for that moment to believe that they're saved. You don't have to have that lights on moment. Some people do. They have that, you know, Damascus Road experience where you have a life change. I don't remember having it.
Tell me what the spiritual experience is like here among the cults. Is there a group of people? Is there like a Bible study? Is there something that people don't understand that goes on in the inside this team?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know because I've never had another job since college. I don't know. I think it's probably similar to most jobs. There's groups of guys that are faithful to Christ, and we have Bible studies going. We have a chaplain here that, you know, last year we worked through the book of John, one chapter each week. I just thought that was a really neat atmosphere. There was a bunch of guys that were showing up, and guys from different walks of life in different places in their faith, but we have common ground in Christ, and I think that's really encouraging. And on top of that, our wives have a Bible study. So some of the coaches' wives and the players' wives get together weekly. I think that's really neat to be not only teammates on the field, but knowing that we have something bigger going on in our lives and something that connects us far deeper than, you know, 53 by 100 yards of turf.
Tony Dungy, of course, took a stand here, and you did not play in the Dungy area. You've been here with Pagano, but I know Clyde Christensen is still here. And is there still the Dungy legacy here?
Yeah, I mean, most guys, there's only a few guys here that are left from that era. You know, you hear quite a few stories around Indianapolis, I think, just of the faithfulness of Coach Dungy and who he was, who he is as a man. I haven't met him. I'd like to someday, but you still hear some of that stuff. And I just, you know, not a ton of guys here remember it because there's only a few guys, maybe two or three that were here then.
I know one thing that you did during spring break, a lot of guys during spring break go on these extended vacations and spend a lot of money in five-star hotels. You took a group, or maybe it was just you and some others, that went down to South Africa. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was all. It's called WFMP, Wheaton Football Ministry Partnership. It's set up through Wheaton College. Our coach, Jeff Peltz, and Gary Levanchi are two coaches that head that up. They're coaches at, one's a coach at Wheaton, one was. But we just try and go and connect with Wheaton alumni that are currently serving in the mission field. We go take groups of guys. We've been all over the world, and I went on a few trips as a player, and I've gone on a couple as a leader, and it's a great opportunity to see what God is doing globally. It's easy to get stuck in our box and think we're the only things that matter, and the circumstances in our lives are all the only thing that matter, but you go on those trips and you see that God is doing some awesome things in Africa and in the Dominican Republic and in Romania and just all over, and it's really neat.
Andy, I really want to thank you for the time that you're giving me. I know that you got a busy schedule and that you're getting ready here, but
I'm good. I'm done for the day, so I'll give you another 2 hours if you need it.
Well, I don't need that, but I certainly would take it. But I wonder if there's any particular verse or book in the Bible that stands out that you would say, that's my favorite verse. That's what I live with.
Yeah, I don't have a life verse, and people ask me that a lot, and I've tried to zero in on that, and I don't have it. No, I don't. I won't even try to force one. It's not something I think different seasons of life, different frustrations. Last year I was unemployed and questioning the goodness of God and how faithful He is and how is He going to provide for me and my family. And so that was a season of life where I was really digging into, you know, those types of scriptures. And then in the midst of success, in the midst of gaining influence and wealth and things like that, I lean on some other things. And in the midst of, you know, going through some tough times with friends who've, you know, gone through some tough times. So I think different seasons of life make me lean on different things, but I don't have that one that I just say is the one that's my rock. But
I will say this, I did read something on you where you said the book of James meant a lot to you.
Yeah, I think it's just, it helped me. There was a time, one of my coaches at Wheaton actually, you know, told me that was his favorite, and I was like, well, I wonder why. And so it was just some practical biblical wisdom that I thought just really spoke to me at the time. And I don't know that it's extremely hard to understand. There's some tough texts in the Bible that takes some study and things like that. And I think at the time it was practical wisdom for me that I needed to hear. And I go back to it decently often, you know. And I think it gives some good instruction for believers for a lot of different situations. I think about, you know, a lot of things like the book of Romans. I love it. I love the Sermon on the Mount. I think, geez, in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount is just an unbelievable countercultural scriptural text. It's countercultural to what we're being fed. And so leaning on things like that and asking tough questions about, you know, who Jesus is and who God is and things like that. Like I said, different seasons of time, I could probably think of a million, but that's kind of, yeah, I love the book of James and just for simple reasons like that.
Andy, thanks again for being a part of Face to Face. We look forward to seeing you on the field when the Colts play. I hope you have a successful season, and we'll certainly not only be cheering for you and the Colts, but also be praying for you that God uses you in a tremendous way.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. Always happy to be here.
All right, Andy Studebaker of the Indianapolis Colts. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Andy Studebaker. We certainly did, and try to keep in contact with these guys every once in a while and get a chance to talk to them, see them. And interestingly enough, we have in our hometown Paul Ferguson, who is basketball coach at Columbus North High School, and he also is a graduate of Wheaton College. So we've got a couple of Wheaton guys that we know. And Andy Studebaker, by the way, you might think that's an unusual name. That kind of goes along with the old car that used to be manufactured up in South Bend. And the truth of the matter is that Andy is a distant relative, a descendant of the Studebaker brothers that put together that car back up in South Bend. And Andy Studebaker, as we said going into this, member of the Tennessee Titans in the preseason, in limbo right now. We don't know exactly where he is or what's next, but these guys, they have a lot to offer in the way of coaching and mentoring, and particularly in this day and age when it seems like young men need Christian male role models, Andy Studebaker would certainly fit into that. Well, hey, we hope you'll check out our website. Our website has not only this interview with Andy on it, but it also has a number of other interviews that we have had, and some very interesting things going on in sports and sports in the world of faith. And we hope that you'll kind of keep up with that by checking out our website every once in a while. Our website can be found at facetofaceradio.com. And also, we hope that you'll take the opportunity to send a donation. Your donations are all tax deductible, and you can send a donation. You can hit the donation button there, and you can send a donation along to help keep Face to Face on the air, as we have been for the last 25 years, I believe it is. We started in 1992, 24 years, starting our 25th year. And September was when we went on, September of 1992. Boy, that seems a long time ago now. And we were kind of wet behind the ears when that happened. But God has certainly blessed this ministry, and we've certainly been able to not only have a number of interviews, but we've been able to keep in contact and be an encourager to a lot of people. And that's what this ministry is all about. We live in a dark world. We live in a world, quite honestly, that Satan seems to control sometimes. But there are a lot of Christian athletes, and we're going to try to bring those to you. Well, as we close today, we want to take you to John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. And here's what it says. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15, 13 through 15. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. Or call Face to Face Ministries at 812-376-3000. Or toll free at 1-800-479-0952. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.